Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
I'm Jamie Williams, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F, in Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also located in the village of Whitefish Bay, in the Equitable Bank Building, across from Winkies. We also service clients throughout the country and have an office in Bonita Springs, Florida as well. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. Today, I'm very excited to share that I have a fellow colleague, Heather Deaton, who is a wealth advisor with us here at EIG. I've had the pleasure of working with you now, Heather, for over 5 years. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I look forward to this conversation as well.
Thank you. Yes, we always have great topics and different things that we love to touch on throughout the year. We have a very collaborative team. I love the fact that we come up with ideas and want to share our thoughts. So I'm very happy to share that today Heather would like to be kind of a subject matter expert when it comes to spring cleaning your finances. And when I think of that, there's just so many different elements of what might be involved with that. I think of going outside. I think of the clocks moving ahead here, which I think is happening very soon. Warmer weather. But then I also think about, you know, our pocketbooks and how we're approaching our own financial situation. So here we are. We've taken a big step into the new year. We're already moving far into 2025 in March. So let's jump in. When you think about spring cleaning your finances, what comes to mind?
Well, and thanks for asking that, Jamie. You know, when I think about springtime, right, it's a new beginning. You want to be able to have things like freshened up and cleaned and put together and organized. You know, we think about, you know, if we take our rugs out to the driveway and beat all the dust out of them and we clean out a junk drawer or we declutter, or one of my favorite things is planting my garden for the year. Mm-hmm. That there's just some energizing moments in that planning stage, right? So it is important to be able to like reset on the financial side every year. You don't have to wait till just the spring. This is something right. You can do ongoing, but I think that as the year goes on, you know, the end of the year, we're busy doing last minute things before year end. There's holidays. Right at the beginning of the year, we're focused on still looking backwards at taxes. But then when we really look at what do we want our finances to, what kind of shape do we want them to be in for the new year, springtime makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we definitely want things to be in good health and thinking about, you know, planning a good year ahead. Love that. I know for many of us right now, where we are in the year is tax season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, being in a place where we're being organized and trying to put things together, being responsible, taxes definitely come to mind.
Right.
So yeah, please share.
And one of the biggest things that you can do for your financial like health and well-being, and my clients know this, I talk about this quite often, is really being in tune and in touch with your cash flow. So what comes in on a monthly basis and what goes out on a monthly basis. So I'm not talking about a budget, you know, the dreaded B word. I'm not talking about, you know, having to limit or put restrictions around what you spend. It's really more of a backwards view into what are you actually spending. So we can say, oh, I'm going to spend X number of dollars each month on dining out. that's great to have a plan. You need to be in alignment with your values. But it's also important to look back and say, how much did I really spend on dining out last year? Also noticing the trends across the year as mm-hmm. far as when is travel more expensive for your personal cash flow, right? You can see the impact of inflation. Mm-hmm. You can see the impact of your lifestyle when you really dig into that tracking. So what does cash flow tracking mean? I mentioned that you look at it, say, on a monthly basis. If you're really behind, you could pull a quarter's worth of spending together. What I do is I download my transactions off of my online banking, and they usually come pre-categorized, so I can sort them by category and just simply total them up. If you're a pen and paper person, you can just take your bank statement every month, and you can say what was income, what was expenses, and like what was it for? Again, some major buckets are groceries, gas, travel, entertainment, dining out, house emergencies, home improvements, car payments, yep. insurance premiums. There's a lot of different categories, and you can fine tune that as much as you would like that would make sense for how you want to be able to see things. I have a couple categories that are not all that meaningful dollar-wise, but I just want to keep an eye on spending in a certain couple buckets because when I noticed how much I was spending in these buckets, it bothered me. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, I'm really going to pay attention to that now. An example, it's not really my example, but an example is online shopping. Right? Online shopping's easy for it to get away from you. So if you really pay attention at the end of the month, how much did I spend online last month? Was it needed? Is it in alignment with my values? There's a lot more that comes out of cash flow tracking than just knowing what it is that you spend. It's going to help you figure out, you know, what else is left over every month.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go? Right? Is it just kind of flitted away from like lifestyle creep because you've got the income? And you live in a way that is easy and feels good? Does it go into savings for whether that's for your next big purchase, whether it's for retirement, college education for children, or probably a combination of all those things?
I'm with you on that. I think being goal-oriented in terms of how you approach spending. I read something recently that says just because it's on sale, you don't need to buy it.
Right.
You know, maybe you need to kind of look at funding. You know, we'll talk later in the show about different accounts and ways that mm-hmm. we can think about saving. But one thing that I know comes to mind for me in our household is how many subscriptions.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's an area that I don't know if people are really tracking that. I think it's become more broadly known, but it's very easy to sign up for an app on your phone and then say, sure, I'll pay a certain dollar amount.
Right.
But all of those smaller amounts, they could be $5 a month, they could be a health club membership you're not using,
mm-hmm.
or maybe that you need to start using.
Right, right.
In my case. but nonetheless, those subscriptions can really add up.
Well, and I think that's a great point, Jamie. That's something that as you watch I mentioned a bank statement, you also want to watch what is getting charged to your credit card. Like, I don't have subscriptions coming out of my bank account. I have those going on a credit card
sure.
that obviously
mm-hmm.
I pay off every month. But as subscriptions get more expensive, we all know that different streaming services have, added on more features, or you can have a higher subscription rate so you avoid the dreaded commercials that
yep.
that we're all so used to not having to see.
Yep.
And then also where there's maybe been a bundle that you were eligible for, and now that bundle is split. You know, one of my sons just told me the other day, hey, I think that those two services that used to be together, they're now separate. You really need to make sure you check that out. And that's a really good reminder to say, what's the value of this subscription? And be careful. Not all of them are monthly.
Right.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
I have a couple that are just an annual subscription. One of them, it's a cooking magazine, and I love the content that I have access to for recipes and equipment reviews and things like that. And then I have another one that was a meditation app, right?
Sure.
And I
yep.
have meditated 2 times in the last year. So, people who know me also probably figure that I don't meditate a lot. So I had to get rid of that subscription, right? That was something that was an intro, and then
yeah.
it became a real fee.
It's just being conscious about what you have and knowing kind of your bearings, right? Because I know, you know, for example, somebody was saying they paid a certain amount of money for access to a news periodical.
Right.
And I've mentioned to them that that was available for free somewhere else.
Sure.
Which I thought, or at a reduced cost somewhere else. So paying attention to those things is very good. And so I really appreciate that. That's some very good insight. We're meeting with Heather Deaton, my fellow colleague here at Ellen Becker Investment Group, a wealth advisor. We're talking about spring cleaning your finances. And we've got a lot of great things that we're going to touch on today. Heather, what are some other things that, when it comes to cash flow, that might come to mind for you?
Well, when we know how much you spend each month on average, and even if you look at like an annual spending, that's going to set so many other things in your financial plan. First, it's going to set what you should have in your emergency fund. Now, an emergency fund is going to be, it's maybe cash in a savings account, a money market. Maybe it's something that's easy to access in an investment account, but is not tied to the market volatility. So again, maybe a money market mutual fund or a treasury. What you want to have in that easy access emergency fund depends on your situation, mm-hmm. but it should be at least 3 to 6 months of spending. That's
yep.
in case you lose your job or your ability to work, mm-hmm. that you would have enough to be able to let some of the debt settle before needing to go to any other accounts like investments or anything else more drastic. Some people even hold up to like, say, 12 months of spending if they want to really have that locked down, especially depending on their situation. If they're more worried about the what ifs that could happen, maybe they're in a riskier a riskier job that may have more opportunity for
right.
them to lose it, right?
A gap in
yep.
employment, an unexpected health event,
correct.
A family situation. Those types of things are really important to consider. I do know that with interest rates and, get more safe investments today, or I should say safer asset classes like money market accounts and CDs and things are paying a little bit higher rate of return. So it's made it a little bit more comfortable to own those types of things for your emergency fund. But we're going to take a quick break here in a minute. And when we come back, I'd love to pick up on that concept of the emergency fund and maybe throw a few other ideas out there. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Money Sense. This is Jamie Williams, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group, and we're here today with my colleague, Heather Deaton, a fellow wealth advisor and certified financial planner. And before the break, we were talking about a lot of things. Our topic today is spring cleaning your finances, which I think is perfectly spot on for where we stand today. And the emergency fund, we're talking about what people might want to be considering for that. And then, beyond, some of us are obviously working toward that. There are others that have, maybe that's already established. So,
right. So, the basis of that part of the conversation was really about cash flow, right? So how much you spend each month dictates what you should have as your goal for an emergency fund. Now, I don't like the word should too often, right? It's usually, mm-hmm. it kind of sounds very judgmental, but a goal for what your emergency fund could be. On top of that, like the next part of it is, well, let's say you have your well-established emergency fund, or maybe the cash in the bank, fortunately, keeps growing, right? That's a great problem to have. But what that might mean is that if you're still accumulating, right, you're still working, you have the ability to save somewhere else. If your emergency fund is well established, your debt's paid down, that would be a concept to think about, is where should I be saving? If you're already spending because you're in retirement, then maybe you need to look at shifting how much you're taking out of your investment accounts every month. Right? That's a opportunity for you to talk with your wealth advisor about that. If you're self-managing, you could look and really say, why am I taking things out of these accounts? There could be tax implications. You're taking out investments when really you could keep that working for you. If again, you've got your emergency fund that makes sense for you, really
sure.
well set. So that would be a piece of it. But as we talk about the savings side of it, again, spring cleaning your finances. It's an important time of year to really just take a little time to dig into those details. I wanted to talk about one of the main places that people save for retirement, if they're still accumulating and working, is their 401k.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge one.
Yeah. So for those fortunate enough to be able to max out each year, it's important to double check your contributions to make sure you're going to hit that max. It always increases every year, some components of it at least. Mm-hmm. So for this year, 2025, you know, the base amount is $23,500. If you're over 50, you can add an extra $7,500 for a total of $31,000. Again, that's a big bite out of income.
It's a big one, but
if you can
hit that,
can get there, because you've got, you know, that kind of income, that's great. There's a new feature this year. It's pretty exciting. You know, we get rewarded for being over 50 because we get to save more in these tax preferred areas. If you in this year are turning 60, 61, 62, or 63, mm-hmm. by the end of the year, you're going to be in one of those four ages. Your catch up is a super catch up. It's actually $11,250. So instead of the $7,500 that you were able to contribute because you were over 50, for those certain ages, it's actually $11,250.
That's
so
huge.
Again, if you are blessed to have enough excess to be able to max that out, that would be a goal for you to have. You know, as advisors, we always look at dollar cost averaging. So that's where you would be able to drip in a bit every paycheck. So it's also important in that spring cleaning stage when you're saying, oh, I better adjust my contributions. Ideally, you would spread that across all paychecks. So you wouldn't be maxing out in June. You would actually just drip that in across the course of a year. It's a proven strategy for long-term investing.
Absolutely. And I think that really ties in kind of earlier on with that cash flow planning, what you're looking for, maybe during the first part of the year, tax season, perfect time to evaluate how much money you're putting in to these plans as far, you know, from a standpoint of percentages. If people have questions, they can usually talk to someone in their HR department or maybe someone that handles payroll. And then they can guide you on how to adjust the, you know, the amount you're putting in. But then also looking at the option to maybe perhaps put money in tax deferred or pre-tax versus after tax or Roth.
Correct. Yep. That is another very important component to retirement savings is what are the tax impacts of that saving right now? But you cannot not look at what the tax impacts of that saving will be in the future. You know, for imagine if you were 25 years old and you saved in Roth, which grows tax-free forever, and then you retire at age 65, you never pay any tax on that money that comes out of the Roth side because that's tax-free growth. Again, I just gave a 25-year-old example. That's 40 years of growth that you never pay taxes on. And sometimes in the moment, all you want is that tax break right now because it feels so important, but you need to have that longer-term view to really make the best mix, you know, that decision that's going to give you kind of, you can also do a mix where you can feel really confident that you've done the right thing for your situation. You know, there's also, you know, many people don't have the excess cash flow and they have a lot of competing priorities about where to save. So another thing to consider, I went through the maximums for each of those retirement plans, something to consider is at least just double checking. Again, if you've got extra cash flow that you're either spending on something that doesn't align with your values, or you notice you've got excess each month that's just sitting and accumulating, you could also just consider increasing your 401k contribution by 1 or 2%.
Sure.
And I would also say, keep in mind, every time you get a raise, again, if you've got some level of comfort in your cash flow, you could say automatically, every time I get a raise, I'm adding 1% more to my 401k, especially for those that aren't, you know, maxing it out yet. You've got that room. Your company likely has a 401k match. That's the other thing to just double check and make sure that you're, you know, wherever you're at least getting as much as you can of that max, of that match, that employer match.
If there's free money on the table, make sure that you're taking advantage of it, right?
Exactly, exactly.
I love that. Also, a lot of people don't realize that they might have the opportunity to make a contribution in the following tax year for the previous tax year, right?
Correct.
So for 2024, many people are still eligible to perhaps make a contribution to a Roth IRA or another type of IRA strategy, and they think that the year's over, but they can still get it in there.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up too, Jamie. There's many things that the end of year is a hard and fast deadline from the IRS and from, you know, tax laws. And there are also some situations where you can like backfill for the previous year. So again, springtime, mm-hmm. we haven't quite filed our taxes yet. If you haven't filed your taxes yet, you know, you can check with your tax preparer if you're eligible to make a 2024 contribution into the Roth IRA, or if it would make sense for you to do a deductible IRA in the situations where maybe you've got that opportunity.
I love that. When I think of spring, I think of simplify. And one thing that I like to let people or share with people is that if they look at their portfolio in a certain way, right, you might not have just one account, you might have several different accounts working for you. And I do love the idea, again, simplify, consolidation. Mm-hmm. If you have a lot of different statements coming in from different places, you know, some of those might be old 401k plans that you used to work for an employer, and they're just sitting there, or maybe it's a range of different accounts that you have, just IRAs, money,
or that random E-Trade account you opened 10 years ago.
The computer share thing, right. You know, that you ended up with some money.
From employer stock.
Yeah, or found money. I always bring up the concept of found money along the way, because sometimes mm-hmm. people end up with different things that were set up by their parents or family. So yeah, simplify your life, put things together, and I love that too. We've been meeting with Heather Deaton, a wealth advisor here at Ellen Becker, my fellow colleague, and we've been talking about a lot of great things today. So we're going to take a quick break here in a minute. When we come back, I want to kind of dive a little bit more into some of the planning ideas and some other things that people mm-hmm. should be considering as we kind of move through into spring cleaning your finances.
I look forward to it.
We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Money Sense. This is Jamie Williams. I'm here with Heather Deaton, my colleague. We're talking about spring cleaning your finances. You know, Heather, it's interesting as we work with our clients and we get to know them and we, you know, meet, you know, their extended family, and we're always talking about different things. You mentioned before the break, we were talking about, you know, helping, you know, create streamline approach and the breadcrumbs, like that was one thing.
Right.
So that doesn't just mean for you, but that means for your spouse, your significant other, your kids, maybe grandchildren. You can help them out.
Right, exactly. And I think one of the concepts we had talked about was, you know, making sure that you know where all of your stuff is. Stuff being the financial assets, being your different mm-hmm. accounts. Maybe you've had some job changes in the last few years. This time of digging into some details and just making sure you have all your ducks in a row is thinking about consolidating. You know, making sure everything is like working together in the right way. And the example of the trail of breadcrumbs that I always talk about is the 401k from the job you had for 2 years, you know, 10 years ago, right? And maybe the little pension that you kind of forgot is even going to be there for you. Making sure you pull all that information together. You know, we'll talk about the file cabinet for sure, but yep. But a part of knowing what you have is the most important part to planning. I said cash flow was, they're tied. Knowing what you have is just as important as knowing what you're spending and what your ability to save is. So when I think about that, you know, again, taking that time to pull that together when you've been getting maybe some statements via email or online access, or you're getting them in the mail. One problem with having a lot of different accounts scattered about is it's a lot of work to manage. And it's also difficult to make sure they all are working together, right? If they're all very aggressive, but you want to be more moderate, or vice versa, if you've got a lot of these old stale accounts sitting there and they're just in a money market, but you're very growth oriented, then they're working against you. So that's an important piece of looking at the big picture. But, you know, we talked a lot about 401ks, and that's mostly those are self-managed. You know, here at Ellen Becker, we do manage those from a distance. But when you're self-managing, it's important that you take the time to look at, and I'm going to give the 401k example.
Sure.
How is it allocated? And where are your new contributions going? Right? And do you need to make a big shift in the whole picture to make sure that it's aligned? 401ks, you don't have control over the list you get to choose from. And that's fine. They're going to act as fiduciaries and try to give you the best options for you. But you also need to make sure that as they change those options, that you're still in alignment with what you want to contribute to. Always look and consider, are you at the point where you should have a more personalized allocation in your work retirement plan for yourself, as opposed to using a target fund?
Right.
Like, I love the target funds. They're super efficient. They work great. What I don't particularly love about them is you don't have control over how much is in each asset class. So target funds have right now quite a lot of foreign investments. That doesn't mean bad. That just means that they're heavier and foreign than maybe what either you are comfortable with or that your wealth advisor would tell you is the best thing for you. So that's just an example that making sure that, you know, if you get to the point where you're like, yeah, I think this makes sense that I break this out of just being in a target fund. Sometimes people try to mix target funds and that
might not be the best approach.
That doesn't
really
work either.
Yep.
So just again, really being able to do that bit of research or work with your advisor on the review.
Absolutely. And to that point, I know when you have a target fund, you're pretty much at the beck and call of whoever the fund sponsor is, whether that's, you know, one of the big ones out there. We've all heard of Vanguard or Fidelity.
Sure.
Those are, you know, good high quality funds, but the lineup or menu of options might give someone a little bit more sophistication if they were to sit down with a professional and maybe evaluate how to reallocate because of everything else happening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
that's a good point. You know, the other part we didn't talk too much about is aligning with your spouse. So again, you know, you might together want to be very growth oriented. And if one person hasn't checked their allocation and perhaps never set investment options on their 401k and it's been sitting in cash, you know, that's important to like take some time and dive into that, put them together, look at them side by side. They're individual accounts, and maybe that's how you want those to really be allocated, but at least having that conversation. The family and like the spousal side of it is very important on that, going back to that cash flow too, right? Really aligning with your values as to how you're managing, whether you're managing your money individually, if it's joint. Those conversations really lead to a healthy relationship with money in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family.
Yeah, without question. One thing or point on that, I love the idea of technology. It's helped us really achieve a lot of information that we maybe would not have otherwise had access to in the past, but over the past, you know, decade or more, it's very fascinating to see what software is available now, so that you can take your actual investments that you own and then have, you know, work with somebody to put it in like maybe some planning software to gauge your risk level. And maybe, you know, if maybe you're not taking on enough, or maybe you've already achieved the goal.
Right.
Right. So the software that we use can certainly help with that.
For sure. And that's like that longer term. And maybe for some people, it's not even longer term. It's it's now.
They're in it.
Is that retirement planning.
Yeah.
Right. We talked about inflation and how that impacts your cash flow. It impacts if you're already spending your retirement assets, you know, it impacts what you've got to take out every month or every year to live. That's important to have that eye on, is this still going to be okay, right? So doing that on an annual basis, again, you know, we're kind of tying we're giving so much homework on this spring cleaning thing. Just remember, you
there
can
ideas.
Take whatever pieces really call to you as a place to start. You know, one other piece when we're looking at like what is going on in some of these different accounts would be making sure your beneficiaries are the way that you want them to be set up. You know, we work with clients all the time. They maybe have another family member, or they have another child, or maybe they've had some loss in their lives, right?
Yeah.
Some situations have changed. That's important to just make sure that you've got your beneficiaries set up correctly. You know, that kind of that leads into estate planning. again, not to make this, you know, overly complicated when we're just talking about some spring cleaning, but it's a time to just check, are things set up the way that I wanted them to be still, right? Is this still set up the way that I want it to be? Your powers of attorney, right? Who's named to step in to make your health decisions if you are unable? Who is set to make your financial decisions if you are unable? As we age into retirement, you know, sometimes we want those activated right away to have, you know, one of our children in charge of those decisions, even while we're still lucid and we're not in a coma. You know, getting that extra help is super important. So being able to talk to, again, your family, your financial advisor, your estate planning attorney on any changes that you think you may want to explore. But again, at the base level, making sure that beneficiaries on all of your accounts and any kind of insurance policies that you have, that those are set the way that you want them to be.
That is absolutely critical. And we've seen that, like, not work the right way that it should be.
Right.
When people have either come to work with us, we've identified it, maybe reviewed that. But as you mentioned, you know, estate planning has got a lot of different moving parts to it. And I just ran into that recently with a client where they need to add someone as an immediate power of attorney. They no longer are in a position to wait for two doctors to sign off or however, you know, was set up. So those are some important considerations. And, you know, as a team, I know our wealth advisors get together often, and we've talked about the concept of a family meeting. You know, just maybe making sure that you can set up a safe time to talk to your family. Not that you have to divulge all of your financial information or account balances or et cetera, but say, hey, let's have an open forum conversation about what's important and just make sure that people are in the know. I know I would much prefer to know that I'm my mom's or my brother's, you know, successor POA or whatever the case may be, rather than just find out, you know,
in that emergency moment.
Yeah.
Right. It's better to have some insight into that. And I like the fact you brought up that family meeting. You know, it's from a detail perspective, it's not an all or nothing. Right. We build those for our clients to include the level of information that the client wants to share. Right. You know, this is a story back to cash flow tracking. You know, I was doing my cash flow tracking for a while. My kids were in like middle school. And I thought, can I show them our cash flow? Right. They have a concept of money, but it might not be to the level that they're going to think, oh, look at this. Look at what's coming in. So I started with the expenses. That was key. I showed them what the expenses were, and then the income was meaningless. Right. They were like, wow, this is how much it costs to run this family and to have this, you know, our lifestyle in the way that we want to. So, you know, we don't have family members or family meetings with middle schoolers. I wasn't intending to bring it to that. But, you know, when we think about clients and their grown children, or if they want to include their grown grandchildren in those, we're always open to
that. It's a good exercise at some point, right?
For sure.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to kind of wrap things up with some more concepts about planning, and our topic today is spring cleaning your finances. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. This is Jamie Williams. I'm here with Heather Deaton. We've been talking about a lot of great things today. Heather, it's been great to have you with me today on the show.
It's been super fun.
We've done this, I think, a couple times. So
I think so, too.
A lot of great topics out there, but given where we're at, spring cleaning your finances is what we've been discussing. Before the break, we were talking about a lot of things. So, you know, I want to talk about kind of some things that people should be thinking about that are more taking action.
Mm-hmm.
And one, we refer to something here as part of our planning. It's kind of a key item we refer to as the grab and go binder. Let's talk about that.
The grab and go binder. So in our financial planning process, like Jamie had mentioned, you know, one of the main deliverables is literally a binder. Now, granted, we do offer it electronically in a flash drive. But when we think about that grab-and-go binder, it's not your file cabinet, but it is a place to start if someone had to step in and just needed to know some basic but broad information about many parts of your financial plan. Or if an emergency happens and you to your spouse or to yourself and you need to grab it. Or in my case, I say, I go to my grab and go binder whenever I need my kids' social security numbers because they're on my tax return, which is one of the tabs in the grab and go binder. That's simply to put maybe just your 1040 in your grab and go binder. It gives you an understanding of what your income is. You can see what you what your taxes were owed. You can see any dependents and their social security numbers on there. So it's a good thing to just update on an annual basis, right? Put that new 1040 in there, shred the old one, or put it in your long-term file cabinet. We'll get to that in a second too. Mm-hmm. Any kind of inventories of accounts. You know, we talked about looking at where is everything? How is it allocated? Now, you're not going to necessarily have to put all these statements in there, but if you can put your listing of all your accounts and where they are, again, we talked about making sure your beneficiaries are set. So understanding where things are going to go if something did happen to you or to your spouse. That's an important piece. The estate planning tab. We talked about estate planning. You know, all those original documents, those need to be someplace pretty secure, but that people can access. So your estate plan, if you went to an estate planning attorney and got a will or more preferably a trust, mm-hmm. you got your powers of attorney, you got your, final disposition, you got your, pour over will, you have all those things. That's going to be a 2-inch binder, right? We're talking about just some key information should go in the grab and go to give your family someplace to start if they needed to step in. So that could maybe be just a flow chart of how things are going to go if something were to happen to you. It might be the 2-page certificate of trust. It might be copies of your powers of attorney. Again, with maybe a note that says where the originals are.
Yep.
You know, and again, anybody named in your documents probably needs to know and be able to get to them. So if you have anything in a safe deposit box, your kids can't easily get in there unless they go and sign that card. So either make the appointment to have them sign the card or figure out a different place to store your important documents to make it easier for them.
And then again, taking back to transparency, talking about these things with our family and those involved.
Yeah.
I love the grab and go binder because it also is a place where you can put a list of trusted contacts and advisors, people that you work with, people that you know if there's a call that needs to be made.
Yeah, it's your team.
Key information.
Yeah, we have in our grab and go binders we put together for clients have, and I always joke, it's an old school business card, flat sheet, with
clear plastic
that has the slots for business cards. You know, we still use business cards. Many professionals still use business cards. Instead of assuming that your kids are going to be able to find your financial team inside the contacts on your phone, just write those numbers down, right? Yep. You can put your boss's number in there. You can put your doctor. You can put your property casualty insurance
person.
How to
access things like password information.
Right, maybe you want to put some password things in there. They don't need copies of all of this in advance necessarily unless you want to share that. But if they know where that is and they can start and say, here's all of the insurance. This is all the life insurance or disability income insurance or long-term care insurance. Just, policy numbers and the carrier that they're with, right?
Sure. Yep.
That kind of stuff is a great place for people to start.
You brought up a good point we haven't talked about yet, which does involve insurance mm-hmm. and insurance planning.
Yep.
I know a lot of people are looking at their auto insurance premiums.
Right, with the inflation that we've seen in that.
Yeah, it's just like incredible how much that spiked. But did you want to touch a little bit about just maybe an insurance review?
Oh, for sure.
Some things to look at there?
Yeah, property casualty, so home and auto and umbrella policies, which is a separate layer of liability insurance that covers both the home and auto side in case something were to really go wrong. Mm-hmm. That's important as you continue to accumulate assets and you accumulate a higher net worth. You want to make sure that umbrella policy is in alignment with what you're trying to protect. But on the individual home policies and car policies, right? Those having an insurance review on that is going to make sure that you have the right coverage levels because, the ones required by the state are not really
minimums,
worth much. Right.
Not good.
Yeah. So you want to have the right level for where you're at. You want to have your house well protected as well. And so, you know, an insurance, like an independent broker, would be able to do a review, make sure you have the right coverage with a quality carrier and at the rates that make sense for you.
Most definitely. And that ties back into if you do also have life insurance, where you may have policies, whether that's whole life or term or any of the insurances that you have available through your employer, going back to that beneficiary check, and then put that in your grab and go. Just make sure that you put a little note in there that says, hey, I checked this on in the spring or whatever the time is before the weather gets nice and we get busy and start traveling and doing our thing. So,
and you know about term insurance too, that inventory will, you know, you should note on there, when is this going to expire, right? Like it was a 20-year term. It was issued in 2005. Oh, well, it's up this year. You know, and then is that, that's a different way to look at it. Is that another, is that a component that you are comfortable with that? It served its purpose and you outlived it, and that's the win.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
you outlived that term insurance. That's the win. You were covered in case something happened, and maybe you can just be comfortable where you're at. Maybe that's a policy that needs to be looked at so you can replace it with something that's meaningful. And maybe that new product has to look differently according to what your needs are now.
Exactly. And so many people, you know, might be looking at taking the insurance that they had and maybe changing the focus of what it means for them in the future.
Correct. So, yep.
And we often, you know, hear about annuities too. That's another thing, you know, that we don't focus so much on those, but those are also very important things that people may have picked up along the way. Really need to understand that and do a review. Your financial advisor should be able to give you some guidance on how to handle those types of insurance contracts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, you know, kind of cleaning up your grab and go binder, you'll have old documents in there. You'll have, you know, your last year's tax return. You'll have maybe outdated inventories. You want to make sure you dispose of those securely and properly.
Yep.
It's a good time to go through again your longer term file cabinet. You only need to keep records, some of them for 7 to 10 years. You know, do you really need your old, you know, electric bills? Probably not. Those are all available online. So that would be making sure that you've got a secure way to get rid of anything that's got the personal information, which leads us to talk about the annual event that we host at Ellenbecker Investment Group, which is our annual Shred and Recycle Day. So that's coming up on May 31st out in our Pewaukee office. So you can look at ellenbecker.com for more details. But that's a great place to have your shredding done.
It's perfect.
You can have, there's recycling on eyeglasses, there are electronics recycling. There's going to be a whole list online about what is accepted and are there any fees associated. The shredding has no fee. Some of the electronics drop-offs might have a charge.
Small cost. But I mean, they're taking like old TVs, old computers, old, you know, stereo equipment, things of that nature, and it's a bonded service provider that recycles all that stuff, so we know it's not ending up in a landfill.
Right.
Love that.
Right.
So very good. It's one of my favorite events to work.
It's great.
We get to see a lot of people as they're driving through, and we've got those shred trucks right on site to destroy everything.
Yeah, you can see your documents literally be shredded.
Yep.
In a big giant like semi.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
That is fantastic. So we have talked about so many things today. Any final thoughts, anything that you'd like to share before we wrap up today, Heather?
You know, I always talk about cash flow. I'm going to go back to the start of the show talking about, you know, just being aware of your cash flow. It doesn't have to be laborious. So keeping an eye on that, making sure that you have things organized and arranged, and doing that double check on an annual basis.
And if I might add, because we are going to do an upcoming event on information security, identity theft, update your passwords too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
And don't use the same one on everything, because if one goes, they all fall.
Yeah, we don't like that when that happens.
Right.
So, very good. So, thank you again, Heather. Great show today. A few thoughts before we wrap up here. Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 and on Sundays from noon to 1. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about our team and some of our upcoming events, we'd love to hear from you at ellenbecker.com. Visit us there or our phone, 262-691-3200. And as always, we hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, Before we invest, we always listen. Thank you.